A WS Lambda's micro-VM announcement is the kind of infrastructure story that doesn't get the breathless coverage of an AI announcement, but it's the type of change that engineers will still be talking about 5 years from now. The story scored 337 points and generated 188 comments on Hacker News. Substantial engagement. The technical premise: AWS Lambda is now exposing micro-VM primitives directly, giving developers full lifecycle control over isolated sandboxes. That's a meaningful shift in what serverless actually means.
Let me give some context for listeners who aren't deep in cloud infrastructure. AWS Lambda has always run on micro-VMs, specifically on Firecracker, which AWS open sourced back in 2018. Firecracker is a lightweight virtualization technology that spins up a minimal VM in under 125 milliseconds. Lambda uses this to isolate function executions without the overhead of full virtual machines. What's new today is that AWS is exposing the micro-VM layer directly to developers. Instead of just saying, run this function, you can now say, start this sandbox, warm it up, keep it alive, inject this workload, tear it down, with granular control at each step.
Why does that matter commercially?
Several reasons. First, it dramatically expands the workloads that Lambda can handle. Currently, Lambda has execution time limits and stateless constraints that make it unsuitable for things like running a browser session for web scraping, executing untrusted code for competitive programming platforms, or running AI model inference on variable size inputs. Full lifecycle control over micro-VMs removes most of those constraints. Second, and this is the part the HN security community is excited about, it creates a proper sandbox for executing untrusted code, which is exactly what you need for AI coding assistants that run generated code to verify outputs.
The Hacker News comments are comparing this to what Fly.io has been doing with Firecracker and to what Modal Labs built their entire business on. The observation is that AWS is essentially productizing an infrastructure pattern that innovative startups pioneered, which is classic AWS. Let the ecosystem discover the use case, then build it into the platform.
The Debossify announcement connects here interestingly. It's a show HN from today, a drop-in replacement for Temporal, the workflow orchestration system, built on Postgres. Temporal has become extremely popular for handling durable execution, long-running workflows that need to survive failures and restarts. The pitch for Debossify is, if you're already running Postgres, you can get Temporal-like durable execution without running a separate temporal cluster. The HN comments are skeptical but intrigued. Skeptical because Temporal's durability guarantees are subtle and hard to replicate. Intrigued because the operational simplicity of not running another stateful system is genuinely appealing.
And the Fusion programming language. Score of 83, 37 comments. This one caught my attention. Tell me what it is.
Fusion is a new systems-oriented language that takes some strong positions. It emphasizes what the designers call capability-based safety, meaning the language's type system encodes what operations code is allowed to perform, not just what types it operates on. Think of it as taking Rust's ownership model and extending it to include permissions for things like I or O, network access, and memory allocation. The language is designed for scenarios where you need strong isolation guarantees without the overhead of a full virtual machine, which connects neatly back to the micro-VM story.
The HN discussion on Fusion is classic Hacker News programming language discourse, enthusiastic, technical, and deeply critical. Several commenters point out that capability-based security in programming languages has a long research history going back to E, and object capability systems in the early 2000s. The question is always whether the practical ergonomics can match the theoretical elegance. Fusion's designers appear to be aware of this history and are making specific choices about where to trade ergonomics for safety guarantees.
Beer CSS is a lighter story today, a CSS framework built around Google's material design specification, with a focus on minimizing both file size and development time. Only 28 points and 2 comments, so it's not generating huge discussion, but it's worth a mention because it represents a continued market for opinionated CSS frameworks despite the proliferation of utility-first approaches like Tailwind. There's clearly still an audience that wants a framework that says, here's how buttons and cards and navigation should look, rather than, here are atomic primitives, compose them yourself.
The FinTech Engineering Handbook is worth a quick mention too, scored 46 points with 11 comments. It's a comprehensive resource covering the specific engineering challenges of financial systems, payment processing, ledger accounting, regulatory compliance and code, reconciliation systems. The reason it resonates on HN is that FinTech engineering has some genuinely unusual constraints. The combination of extreme reliability requirements, regulatory audit trails, and the mathematical precision needed for financial arithmetic creates a discipline that's distinct from general software engineering. The handbook appears to cover these well, and the HN comments are recommending it as a solid reference.